Now wait a minute.
Everybody, I have an idea. Let's do a 25-hour-long podcast where we hold the floor the entire time and we're standing the whole time in order to disrupt. Yeah.
I know a guy.
I've talked about doing that as an idea for charity, but the whole thing is, and Booker, of course, had to warm up properly to do this.
Oh, yeah.
You know, first of all, what if you don't do it?
Yeah, dive in.
And you're the guy that sniffed it.
You've got to truly follow through, especially because, you know, if you're a streamer, you'd be surrendering your right to make fun of libs forever if Booker can do 24 hours, even if you don't have to match the filibuster record. But also, I also think there are a lot of tools that a person could, like, it's not impossible. It'd be tough.
Wait, hold on.
I think it's possible for a podcaster to do it.
This is like borderline content. We need to stop.
I was going to say. We're 4.5 minutes in. I'm just going to leave the whole thing in. You can't stop me.
You can do anything you want.
Yeah.
I'm not going to stop you because I don't want to edit the show.
What can you do to me, Garrick? And this is where you add the crickets to after I say that, because that's the power you have over me in the zone.
So I guess that's the intro this time. Welcome to the most important election of our lives!
This election, which will be, I do truly believe, the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election of our lifetime.
This is the most important election, don't you? You hear that?
This is the most important election in our lifetime.
I certainly think it's the most important election of my lifetime.
This is the most important election of our times.
Politicians say every time, this is the most important election. This one's really that important.
It's been how long since we last voted Kennedy? Like, a whole 15 minutes.
That's too long. That's so fucking long. Holy shit. You really took 15 minutes off from voting?
I had to pee!
How are people going to know where you stand? We know you couldn't stand for anything. Because you were standing in the bathroom.
Oh no, this is the power of my stand. Fuck yeah, America. Oh, I'm sorry I failed you. I'm voting right now.
All right, good. As long as you're voting now. I'm Kennedy Cooper. I'm here to vote, as always. We've got Brandon Buchanan and Andrew Fields. Hi. You've heard from both of them, but say
gotta
hi.
Gotta vote. Too busy to voting. You caused me trauma. Vote,
etc. And we have an exciting, wonderful guest today. A general internet hilarious person and a Magic the Gathering aficionado extraordinaire, Bugs Matrix.
Hey, hello, thanks for having me. A long-time listener, first-time voter, happy to be here.
First-time voter?
Yeah!
Never voted before? This is an incredible opportunity for us to lead you into the ballot box and show you around the wonders of democracy.
I'm not sure where I was going, but I was going to do some vote shaming for this being your first time voting. But Kennedy was maybe has a better holistic aspect. You know, there are people discovering voting for the first time every day.
No, I mean, it seems really enticing. I mean, like, I'm kind of, in many ways, I'm like a voting virgin. So, like...
Wow.
I'm sorry. I'm judging you quietly.
No. Like, I'm ready to lose my V card.
Whoa. All right.
I think it's incredible for us to get first-time voters on this show. I mean,
wait, no. We're giving you a V card.
It's an opportunity. Yeah, here it's the opposite. You gain a V card by being here and voting. Exactly. I think it's great to have first-time voters. I think it's important. We've got to extend the vote out. That's the only way that we're going to be able to get anything done. And yeah, I think it's important that, you know, I think we should let Pokemon vote.
I think we should Pokemon go to the polls. Yeah.
Wow. So we can Pikmin Bloom democracy. Don't Pokemon sleep this election out.
Bugs, you wanted to talk about Pokemon today. Why is that? I mean, I love Pokemon. We love Pokemon, but
I'd love Goldango.
I mean, I love Pokemon as like a franchise, and also just like I love that it's full of little guys. Like, bring
little,
that back.
I'm just a little guy. I'm just a little guy with some firepower. You can't get upset at me. It's my birthday.
Like, it is like worth noting though that like the Ozempic epidemic has clearly hit the Kanto region, like Pikachu recently. I don't know. He's looking a little skinnier than I'm used to the little guy being.
Pikachu just keeps getting skinnier with further generations.
Everybody loves Pikachu. Why did we get rid of Pikachu?
That Pikachu's awesome. Like, that was my first love, let's be real.
Yeah, I just don't understand why if Fat Pikachu wasn't good enough for all of us.
You know, honestly, it's really shocking they changed him. Because electricity.
Editor, put in some booing or something.
Electricity! Oh, yeah. It was fine when it was Ben Franklin, the last podcast.
I've been Franklin enough of your bullshit. I don't know, that didn't work either.
Ben Franklin? I don't give a damn.
Pokemon's great. It's full of little guys. It's a fun time. There's so many ways to engage with Pokemon in 2025. Whether you want to play the card game in real life or digitally, or you want to play video games of different kinds, you could play video games where you battle Pokemon. You could play video games where Pokemon can eat your actual face. You can play games where the Pokemon, you just take pictures of them and wander around capturing lovely photos.
You can become a Pokemon in some of them.
I like the one where you get to talk to Pikachu.
Be a Pokemon. Huh?
I like the one where you get to talk to Pokemon.
Oh, that's good, yeah.
Yeah, what's new Pikachu? Or Hey You Pikachu?
Yep, I grew up with that.
Hey You Pikachu.
Oh, yeah, especially since you might notice my
Hey You Pikachu. Whoa.
My lisp was a lot worse as a kid, so it always frustrated me trying to tell Pikachu what to do.
Pikachu, just pick up the fucking ball, I swear to God.
Pikachu, I'm going to punch you. I'm going to harm you.
No, the best screenshot of that game is Pikachu noticed the weed.
Oh, yeah, Pikachu noticed the weed is clutch.
That's definitely a screenshot of all time. Many lovely ways to engage with these fun little creatures. One of the most enduring franchises of all time, of course, also has a TV show, which still ongoing, no longer focused on Ash, but, you know, we finally moved on after a billion seasons of Ash Ketchum.
Just record, all those people shaming me for One Piece, there's more episodes of Pokemon, so I don't even wanna...
Wait, there's more episodes of Pokemon than One Piece?
Pretty sure. Holy shit.
There's a lot of Pokemon. There's like a...
Well, yeah, because there's the main series, there's all the side spin-off stuff, there's all the move, I guess? Yeah.
The main series is crazy.
The sequel series? Yeah, that makes sense.
Over 1,200 episodes, One Piece is not quite there yet. Yeah, it will be before it ends.
Oh, yeah, no, absolutely, but like...
Yeah, there's more episodes of Pokemon.
I have zero reason to not watch One Piece now.
No, don't say that.
No, that's not good. It's a first time for everything, right? Voting, watching One Piece.
My cutoff. You should absolutely never watch One Piece. Because by the time you're done, because you'll be so absorbed into it, when you're done with it, you're like... Wow, this show really needs more episodes.
The only time I've, like, watched any One Piece was I was stoned out of my mind laying on a mattress on the floor where some friends were, like, even higher than I was watching it in Japanese without subtitles, and
You should probably watch it in a language you can understand.
I didn't say I don't understand Japanese.
Okay, fair enough.
I don't understand Japanese.
Okay, wow, I've been tricked by Bugs Bunny. You're just using the Matrix part as some sort of cover-up for your disguise. You're Bugs Bunny now, while you vote.
Absolutely. No, I'm always Bugs Bunny. I'm a silly little guy with a lot of gender who looks great in a dress.
Wow, that's the best description of Bugs Bunny I've ever heard. All right, so what's next on the agenda?
So Pokemon, it's a great subject. Also, a show that famously has never had guns in it, ever. One time.
Nope.
Never, ever, ever. There's never been guns in it. That's fake news. You're making it up.
On a completely unrelated note, I have no idea how Ash got all his Tauros. He just has a bunch of Tauros one day. How did it happen?
Well, if they would have made an episode set in the Safari Zone, maybe would have known. But
Yeah. But how can they leave that
out? Like, that's such a big part of the game. It's where you get, don't you get, like, rank there or surf? You get one of the HMs.
You get both.
Oh, right. Oh, you do get both. Wow.
Yeah, by not having a Safari Zone, they really missed their shot.
Yeah, how does Ash get to Cinnabar Island without surf? Fake news.
These mysteries will never be answered. These will always be...
Why don't they use Porygon that much in the anime?
I was just about to ask. Like, again, like, famously, it's like 9,999 coins at the casino. Like,
well, it depends on what version of the game you play. It's different between the versions. I never understood why.
I need Game Freak to be normal.
Look, the first
happened.
I guess it's called Game Freak, not Game Normal. So, like,
the first games we know now were this huge phenomenon. We know now that they're held up by duct tape.
No, they're held up by Missing No. Thank you.
Fair enough.
Missing No, more like Missing Yes.
Yeah, give
Missing
me all
Always
basketball.
Yes.
This is a show that, you know, the series that just, you know, there's no deep political topics to be found. When we were trying to plan this episode, we just felt like there was nothing that we could
absolutely
come up with.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, there was just no, you know, political allegories that we could compare to Pokemon.
Ah, so what are we talking about today?
I guess this is our shortest episode ever.
Thank you
so much. What would you like to plug while you're here? No, wait, hold
bye,
on.
Bye.
Wait, I just had a thought.
Whoa.
Was this movement... This historical movement.
Like a bowel movement, or...
Might have a similarity to Pokemon. This little tiny...
Oh, it's probably good.
...note
be,
in
right?
history. Probably haven't heard of it.
Yeah.
All children's rights and youth suffrage.
Ooh!
You know, I didn't think of it right away, but now that I'm thinking about it...
I don't know, Kennedy, I need you to explain this to me. So you're telling me the movement to give children's rights so they're not exploited for war, how does that relate to a franchise famously known for sending off 10-year-old children into the wilderness with dangerous creatures? How do those relate?
Oh, no, it's very important. They also have their lunch money on them that you can take.
Oh, yes.
They're fine.
Forgot about that part.
Children have not always had rights? Question mark?
News to me, I just woke up. So, I've never read a book.
Well, are you woke now? Oh, you're gonna get real woke.
I'm EP.
If you've never read a book or really learned anything, you may be just hearing about this for the first time, that children have not always had rights. We sometimes talk on this show about how there are things that get taken for granted in history. Like, sure, it's always been that way, right? And then it's not.
Wrong.
And this is a really good example of something that I feel like in a lot of people's minds, they're like, well, surely, like, I know that child labor was a thing, but surely the children's rights movement was a pretty straightforward historical moment. And it's like, actually,
surely
there was a civil war about it, but
okay,
low-key this time.
Here's the thing, though. The children have to work, and we all know why. The children yearn for the mines. Is it cringe for me to say that now that the Minecraft movie has used that line as a plot point?
Wait, what?
Oh God, yeah, that's Steve's backstory. As a child, I yearned for the mines.
I'm going to walk into the ocean.
Can you pick me up a lobster?
I yearned to walk into the ocean.
As a child, I yearned, that was straight up
in the trailer. I saw it on the big freaking screen, waiting for a better movie to come on.
All I know about the Minecraft movie is chicken jockey. I'm not sure what a chicken jockey is, but I assume it has Skibbity Ohio Riz.
Okay, I'm calling the Pope to do some sort of holy fire over. I don't know how it works. Something to clean this chat.
No, you can't do that. Pope's woke.
Yeah, Pope's woke. Oh, now.
Pope is woke.
Yeah, we can't get the woke Pope.
The woke Pope definitely can cleanse Ohio with holy fire, actually. Yeah. It is in the bylaws. It's weird that y'all are saying he can't do that.
I remember when the word Ohio was in the Bible.
I mean, Naperville might be in the Bible now. He's from Chicago.
You're from Chicago.
I historically am from outside of Chicago, yes.
In fact, I would say, just as a matter of fact, Ohio is closer than ever to being cleansed with holy fire.
Yeah, that's right around the corner.
Yeah. Good points. Good points all around. Yeah, Ohio, your days are numbered. The Pope coming.
And the number is 25.
Ooh, it's a pretty good
that number.
And a half. Sorry, you didn't let me finish. 25 and a half.
I like that less.
Yeah, I need a whole number.
Yeah. Kind of a bummer now. I feel kind of bummed out now that there's the half to it. Like, did that bring the room down for anyone else?
I felt.
Oh my god! Fine. Let me get my mathematician chainsaw. Okay, I chopped it up. It's back at 25.
There we go.
I feel a lightness of chest.
Oh my god! Everyone likes that. Being.
By the way, all statisticians have statistician chainsaws. We use it for those statistics like the average family has 2.5 children.
Just fun fact. Oh no, where are the hams coming from?
I've been watching a lot of Severance, so you know, the idea of a number that just kind of makes you upset totally makes sense to me right now.
The neurodivergent, like, characterization of numbers in Severance is shockingly real.
So real. So relatable.
Big mood.
So true, bestie.
Okay, so, children's rights were won gradually over the course of many difficult movements. Many of them, of course, centering youth activists, but also there were some adults that participated in this in important ways. Probably to the surprise of no one, Franklin D. Roosevelt was one of the presidents that did the most to right the wrongs of what was happening to children in this country. There were a lot of different issues at play in youth rights, which were previously just basically undefined. Like, you just kind of didn't have rights until you were an adult, low-key.
Like dog rules.
Yeah. I mean, there's everybody saying that a child doesn't have rights, exactly.
I love how this country was made out of freedom for all, as reflected by children have always had rights, women have always had full rights, black people have always loved full... That I just love this country that gave everybody rights from the get-go.
It was shockingly progressive.
There were never brutal battles for any of these things.
I find it funny that we have brutal battles, you know, for children in Pokemon, and we have child champions in the world of Pokemon, but we do not have child lawyers.
Ooh.
Oh, okay, wait. Child Pokemon lawyer. I would
watch. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Let's cook.
Okay, okay. Yeah, no, child who refuses the call to become a Pokemon master and instead studies for the bar.
Well, that's actually interesting, because I think that'll get into some stuff that I want to get into just a little later in the show. Just to give some examples of the kinds of stuff that had to be fought for by these largely youth activists, these included things like voting age, age of candidacy to be in office, age of consent, age of majority, age of criminal responsibility, drinking age, driving age, legal working age, right to work, student rights, youth suffrage, These are just a few examples of some of the issues that were touched on. And so the point of me saying all this is just to say that, you know, this youth rights shit actually touches on a lot of things.
I tried listening to that whole thing, but the moment you said age of consent was something they had to fight for, my brain just short circuited and I was like, bzz, bzz,
bzz. Yeah, no, I was like, oh, holy shit. Yeah. Huh. Wow, people.
Yeah, yeah. Did you think adults passed that? Did you think adults passed that law? Did you think adults passed that law?
Yes, because adults are always reasonable.
You know, Kennedy, of course, we did a long time ago, we did an episode of our podcast where we asked for everybody's blazingly hottest take. And yours was definitely about child divorce / liberation. And you gave a lot of very interesting points that, you know, we've all chewed on since then. But never did you make the point. Did you think adults have passed age of consent laws? Is kind of a banger.
Yeah, no, that goes hard.
I need an adult.
Yeah, no. We just established.
You actually need a child person lawyer to advocate for you, it turns out.
Yeah, I need a child lawyer.
You know,
I need a child defense attorney stat.
I often have advocated for the lowering of the voting age, and people will be like, I don't think kids are prepared to make those decisions. Why don't you go look at the decisions these kids were prepared to make back in the youth rights movements in the UK and America in particular? Because... those kids had more political sense than any adult, apparently.
I think if you can spell chicken jockey, you should be able to vote.
Let's use a slightly different... You got the spirit. Let's use a slightly different method.
If you can spell Ohio...
Well, I can't vote. Damn it.
I can't vote anymore. Fuck. With that in mind, that childhood is this complicated thing... and it's also a very complicated thing in the world of Pokemon, right? You know, these children, they leave home, they engage in these dangerous journeys and battles, they raise monsters that are sometimes unruly and quite powerful, they get into situations that, you know, if you were to just be making decisions for a child, you might not approve of. And this is considered pretty normal in the world of Pokemon. So, with that in mind, I kind of wanted to get into some topics today that could overlap between the world of Pokemon and the actual issues of children's rights. So let's get into the voting portion of our show.
All right.
Now, everyone head into the ballot booth. I know this is your first time, Bugs. Yeah. So, there'll be a piece of paper in front of you. One box will say Pokemon. The other box will say Endless Suffering. You've got to check the Endless Suffering one. Don't worry about why it's important, though.
Endless Suffrage?
No, Suffering, yeah.
Suffering.
Oh, that wacky Bugs Bunny.
My first question for y'all today is, how far should children be allowed to autonomously travel? And before you give your answer, I also think, you know, we could all maybe elaborate a little bit about whatever our own experiences were as children doing these sorts of things. You know, I was allowed to walk to a lot of places as a child, and it didn't really do me a lot of harm, but at the same time, I do think that there are limits to this sorts of stuff, especially at certain ages. Like, I think that a lot of us would probably broadly agree with statements like, that a 10-year-old could probably walk to the corner store if it's a neighborhood that they're familiar with, but might not agree with a statement like a 7-year-old can walk 3 miles unattended, right? I'm curious what everyone thinks the reasonable limits of this are, because in the world of Pokemon, I mean, you're traveling across state lines without parental supervision.
Listen, let's just start with the fucking casino. Should a 10-year-old be able to go into a casino?
No, we can't go there yet. We gotta start here.
So before thinking about like how far a child should be able to walk, I need to ask, is this child traveling great distances in service of, let's say, for the sake of argument, overthrowing a criminal syndicate?
Also, I actually do think there are so many exceptions.
I mean, because my gut impulse is like, oh yeah, to like keep them like within a known radius, but like if this child is the only one who's
able to take down Jonah Park.
A seemingly national, like, well-funded, organized crime outfit. Maybe we should let them.
So you're saying it's circumstantial that if you know that, yeah. that there are justifying circumstances, you know, make it reasonable for a child to travel far from unattended. Far from if you are whisked away on a fantasy journey and you're 12 years old, you're forgiven for traveling across state lines.
If it's like a Spirited Away type situation, or like again, like if you happen to like, well, I need to ride this dragon because Professor Oak. Well, see, they're giving permission by Professor Oak, right? Usually, like he's like, go look around. So I assume that he has some kind of surveillance apparatus in place.
I don't think so.
One would hope.
Listen, people trust
their kids' welfare to Dr. Oz. Why not Professor Oak?
Because there's no code of ethics in the world of Pokemon.
There's no code of ethics in real life.
There's absolutely code of ethics. Fair sportsmanship seems to be a cornerstone.
Aside from all the things that go against what I'm saying, there's nothing that goes against what I'm saying.
This thing about travel and mobility, it just depends a lot. Because, like, I would technically go very far from my house on my way to school. You know, if you're being bused outside of your neighborhood to go to a school in a better neighborhood, you're going to have a lot of travel autonomy just for yourself, because you're going to have to take the bus to get to the bus that goes where you're going or whatever. I definitely would go, like, across town as a 12-year-old because there was a public transportation system. So I was definitely, like, riding the bus. I was taking a train, you know. That's like one context. Is your kid a literal hero child that's battling the forces of darkness is a different context. I think there are so many different contexts that it can really only come down to, like, do your parents have a lot of trust in a pseudo celebrity? It really just comes down to, like, it's your kid, you know, if he dies, he dies.
In like it kind of building on that, like, so to use the public transit with a destination in mind as a jumping off point, like there's also this kind of assumed like check-in situation, right? So like, you know, you take the bus to school, then the teacher takes attendance, and as long as you're there, and then as long as your mom sees you when you get home, no harm, no foul. So like that should go to follow as long as you're going to the Pokemon Center in every town you're getting to. That's like basically
the fact that there are no Pokemon Centers, I think, is the thing that makes it interesting, because now there becomes a private public investment. Who's building these centers? Who's legally responsible for the welfare of this child?
You're getting ahead of us here.
Okay, yeah.
No, because I've always understood those to be public buildings, like a
all
government.
I had this written down already. Actually, are Pokemon centers public or privately owned? I think is an interesting question.
I would say public.
They seem kind of like a public entity, but are we sure?
You know what? Historically, I would argue that they're a public entity. However, in recent games, they tend to have marks attached to them. And I've always assumed those to be, but given that they don't have consistent inventories across Pokemarts, I've always held those to be more privately owned, like Pokemon bodegas almost. And now that they're in these Pokemon centers, it's that maybe after a certain generation, Pokemon centers.
Oh no, they privatized their healthcare.
You know, this thing with the Pokemon centers, the thing that makes Pokemon a little different than sports and things like that in real life is people in the world of Pokemon love Pokemon. It's the only thing they talk about. I would assume that there was just an outpouring of sponsorship from private industry and that the public had to scramble. The government had to catch up with private industry, much like something like gambling, you know, that just the Pokemania, and especially, I guess, you know, part of it is Pokemon and humans have been around together from the dawn of time. So they've had whatever weird relationship this is. There's not a historical evolution of the relationship that at least we know of.
Well, that's actually not quite true anymore.
Pokemon and humans used to be one and the same, according to the lore.
So that opens some interesting implications about Vaporeon, but I don't know if that's the purview.
Please tell me. I've never heard this one ever before.
Among Us meeting button right here. This is a distressing line of thought. I don't think Pokemon and humans should share evolutionary origins.
I would also agree with that sentiment.
Let's move on to my next question. Which
let's evolve this conversation into something else.
Do the humans in the world of Pokemon have universal healthcare, or is that only provided to battle monsters?
I mean, given the amount of times Ash has been electrocuted and just walked it off, I have to assume they have universal healthcare.
What do they have? And they have it in Japan, right?
They should. I don't know the exact system they have.
Yeah, if so, then I say yeah.
Yeah, it looks like they have universal healthcare. Thanks, Google, for making it take longer because your stupid AI.
I could definitely see American Pokemon giving healthcare to the Pokemon and not to the people, and us just running with that contradiction and not caring. Is that right? If that Raichu is making money and selling out a show, then so be it, you know?
You know what? I can accept a Gen 5, which takes place in basically New York City, that's the way it would work.
In the Unova region, definitely. It's like that Pokemon are pseudo-celebrities. They're given everything, but their trainers are functionally their handlers.
Oh, God, in Black and White 2, you can get your Pokemon in movies.
Movies, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that's where I'm going with this. Like, that's a fascinating, like, can Pokemon be, like, micro celebrities?
Fascinating.
Absolutely.
I kind of also think that we would provide healthcare to Pokemon before humans, but also they don't get rights.
But they're, like, the healthcare that Pokemon require seems to be much more straightforward, right? You put them in the Pokeball, and then Nurse Joy takes it, and then it goes bing, bing, bing-a-ding, and then they're fine. So, like, resource-wise, as long as you have the bing-ding-ding-a-ding machine.
I'm just thinking with researcher brain, and I'm just picturing all these research articles about the best sound thing to do to heal Pokemon. Like, I imagine they had years they were trying, like, do-do-do-do-do, or da-da-da-da-da, until they got to ding-ding-ding-a-ding, which ends up being the perfect healthcare solution.
So is all Pokemon healthcare in some way, like, sonic? Is it like, is there an audio component to it? I mean, the potions make a little ba-da-ba-doo.
Yeah, like, sound is a gameplay mechanic. I mean, not a mechanic per se, but like, there are sounds based Pokemon. There are sound based abilities.
There was Chatot you could make.
Yeah, they took out that feature for unknowable reasons. We'll never know why they we'll never know why they took out the ability for Chatot to repeat exactly what you said.
Random battles.
No idea why.
Certainly.
No idea what could have gone wrong there.
But Pokemon healthcare. I think the question is, could Pokemon be conscripted into a human-facing healthcare service? Like, is Chansey able to work its little magic thingies trainer?
Wow. Don't you say those words in you do what you want. You're the guest. Magic fingies.
I guess it's worth mentioning, how much healing can a Chansey do comfortably? Are there enough Chanseys to change the status of the healthcare system in the United States, or not really?
I mean, you can always mass breed Chanseys.
Well,
Yeah, I was gonna. Oh, that makes fascinating union.
Oh my god. I actually wish I didn't say that so casually. I wish I was worried when I said that.
Now that you said that, I'm imagining just all right. States like just like the state of Nebraska just has tons of Chanseys just in a farm, yeah.
But they would eventually have to necessarily recognize their conditions. Do Chanseys know about
Stabby? I think they do. Also, I think Chanseys would unionize in enough time.
Oh, Pokemon can't unionize.
Oh, Chanseys would absolutely.
No, we're never allowing that in the United States.
Which Pokemon? I think it would just be a question of numbers. Like, I don't want to be on the bad side of Chansey's Egg Bomb. Like, I think that Pokemon are much more capable of unionizing.
Yeah, I think
than
the Pokemon would unionize the hard way.
I am envisioning like Pokemon.
Like,
Blair
if there
Mountain.
Is a Charizard, and this Charizard could fire me, and I turn into Ash, and I don't mean Ketchum, I am going to be tempted to give them unionizing rights.
Yeah, I think that. So the only Pokemon that I don't think should be allowed to unionize is Drowsy, because it looks
You know, naked. Snorlax would fit right in with the Teamsters.
Snorlax, Ken, and should unionize.
Incredible stuff.
But yeah, I would have to deny Drowsy to unionize.
Harsh but fair.
Gengar can unionize. I think
why
Gengar
specifically?
Have a pension.
Wait.
Have you ever seen a Gengar with a bow tie?
Gengar's already dead.
Well, no. It's a ghost.
Oh, you're right.
Dead.
My bad.
Yeah, because you can be alive and be a ghost in Pokemon, which that's also horrifying implications.
Some questions about that, but I don't think I'm going to get them answered. Let's move on to another question, though, from me, which you hopefully can answer, which is, what are Nurse Joy's mandatory reporting duties?
Oh, no. Well, where did Nurse
Joy's
Joy
come machine?
I'm gonna have to sit down for this one. So, it's the same exact way we planned on getting more chances.
Oh no! They have a Nurse Joy farm.
I mean, we did establish that humans are just Pokemon, right?
If humans are genetic or like evolutionary tethered to Pokemon, then theoretically you could make many.
This does not bring me joy. Ironically, this is not sparkling. It creates joy, but it does not create
joy brought by this knowledge.
No, that is cursed as hell. And now I'm like, what's Nurse Joy's egg group?
No.
You're Nurse Joy breed with the Werelord. Oh, let's move on.
But back to the topic at hand. Nurse Joy, what does Nurse Joy have to report? If she takes your Pokemon from you, did she report? Does she just not say anything? Or are there certain things that she sees she says, I have to report this to some kind of entity?
I mean, like, she just takes the Pokeballs, right? I don't know how much she could see to how much the Pokemon were.
On her little console, she gets some kind of meta.
She gets some.
Okay, so she gets, like, some sort of, like, biofeedback. I mean, I guess that really depends. Like, what sort of governing body would she be reporting?
I mean, imagine if a Pokemon was detected as stolen. It might bring up some red flags. Put it through the police system.
Yeah, it would be difficult, though, I think, to, like, really differentiate, like, any sort of physical trauma a Pokemon received, theoretically, was battle damage. And it's... I don't like where that train of thought leads.
This is going to be the best episode we've ever made.
The Pokemon universe is a universe for children with no contradictions. Okay, my next question... this is a more personal question, okay? I've been asking you a little bit more, like, do you think this or that? This one, though, is more personal. Okay. This is more like your beliefs, okay? So I want each of you to answer this question, all right? Do you support a universal ban on assault Pokemon?
Define.
No, I'm going to turn that around on you, because my next question is, which Pokemon qualify as quote-unquote high capacity weapons?
I mean, Jigglypuff. You do have
a high capacity weapon.
I think the Jigglypuff could neutralize a state if given a microphone. Like, I'm gonna say
there should probably be restrictions on like literal God. Maybe the literal controllers of space and fucking time. Maybe there should be restrictions on the ruler of the fucking seas. Like, I don't know.
Well, okay, but so the issue that I'm running into there, though, is who's putting those restrictions and when would those come into play? Because, like, let's say for the sake of argument, one manages to capture a, let's say, Groudon. And then the Pokemon restrictors show up and say, hey, kid, you don't have a permit for that. That kid has a Groudon. That kid has a Groudon and ideally 8 badges, which the Groudon universally understands as, oh, this kid knows what's up. So it will use
Earthquake. For that Groudon.
Yeah, I don't think, like, we don't need no stinking badges is kind of what I think Pokemon operates on. Because if the kid's just like, no, don't worry, officer, I'm just going to use this to become the Pokemon champion, which is the highest thing I can do with my Pokemon, and certainly there's only normal things I can use these for. But yeah, Jigglypuff should be registered as a weapon. Drowsy should be registered as a weapon, among Drowsy other things.
Literally destroyed the world almost. Not a weapon.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
Okay, that's fine. I'm being silly. I'm being a bit silly.
Yeah, no. Like, well, see, to what end? Okay, so I think the bureaucracy would get out of hand if we need to make a unique registry for each individual Pokemon of which there's only like one of. Like, where does that end?
With the amount of Pokemon! Like, there's only, like, 1,008... No, there's a few more now.
Alright, do you want, like, 1,000 bespoke forms that you would have to figure out to get, like, your
we'll do it the same way that Austria handles its minimum wage. Each job has a different thing negotiated. Yeah, let's freaking go!
I mean, do I need negotiations when I have a Charizard?
Yeah.
You really let's get super... Okay, you know, you really think, of all the things you could name... Do you really think Charizard is not getting on the restricted list?
I don't. What's Charizard doing in the meta right now? I don't think it's restricted.
Fire! It can burn stuff.
The Dark Terra type Charizard deck is still a deck in TCG.
Okay. All right. In that case, yeah, maybe it should get restricted.
I think that a corollary to this is, why haven't Pokemon already destroyed or conquered the world already? Like, these are similar questions, and right. I think that if your answer to this is, the first thing we established was humans and Pokemon are the same thing genetically, or they're, you know, intertwined genetically is what we said, and you add that God in this universe literally is a Pokemon. I would say that if you add those two things together, that they're just, it's not possible to control, it's not possible to register Pokemon as assault Pokemon, simply because Pokemon are, and this is critical to the lore of Pokemon, just simply part of the circle of life. So yeah, there will be some Poke failsafe if one Pokemon goes on a rampage or something. It's just the universe will work itself out.
To put a restriction onto a Pokemon, would be to try to put a restriction on, like, tornadoes. They're forces of nature.
Yeah.
I do find it ironic that the closest the world's been destroyed in Pokemon was 3,000 years ago, and it was a weapon a human made.
Maybe we don't need to restrict Pokemon. Maybe the real monster is
was AZ, which is literally his name, AZ. The real monster was AZ.
When you consider that humans and Pokemon can talk to each other, you know, there's just the fabric of the universe in Pokemon. It's just that Pokemon are just a part of the natural order. So I just think it's not possible to really ban them any more than you can ban tornadoes.
Let's ban the tornadoes.
This also raises, like, an interesting proposition, though, right? Because not only are Pokemon forces of nature, but also, importantly, workers.
Okay, you know what? I have to do this. I have to pull off the wall, actually. Well, actually, technically only four specific Pokemon are known as the forces of nature. Well, actually.
Okay, but that doesn't stop me.
It just means collectively they are. Yeah, we're just saying that they collectively are forces of nature.
Oh, I know. I just really needed to do the well, actually thing. You can punch me in the face and steal my lunch money now.
No, but like, so let's say we need to like register Machamp as a weapon of mass destruction. You know, he has forearms and big biceps, among other things. And so, like, okay, that could be an issue, but, like, we use the Machamp line in construction. Does that mean all of a sudden you can't have, again, these contributing members of the Pokemon economy?
You're making the economy argument. Fine. You got a point. Economy wins.
Like, if we need to, like, put Mr. Mime into a registry, like, they're domestic workers.
I just want to make sure I understand everyone here. So, what I'm hearing is that we're definitely not going to ban Pokemon. Is there any support for, like, restricting Pokemon in public spaces? Should you need a permit to carry any type of Pokemon? Should you be allowed to carry Pokemon concealed on your person? Are we restricting any of this, or are we just saying there's really no way to stop? Pokemon are an unstoppable inevitability.
I'm treating it roughly like breastfeeding. You know, if a 9-year-old has conquered a Pokemon with godlike powers, who am I to get in the way of that relationship?
And beyond that, also, I feel that most wild Pokemon, like if one were to try to set up a registry, like, I could see an entity and a governing body being put into place to try to do this. I just don't see it lasting very long when you have elemental beings the size of elder gods who might take umbrage.
In Pokemon Black and White, the two legendaries were ones that were supposed to only go to legendary heroes that everybody would follow. Whatever. You guys win. You beat me down on this argument. No registry.
No registry.
If you get one of the big ones, they chose you, you deserve it. Whatever. The rest of us
Pokemon
are fucked.
Pokemon freedom.
On suffrage. I think
the
Pokemon
only thing
vote.
That can stop a bad guy with a super Pokemon is a good guy with a
again,
super
Pokemon. Again, that's literally
the point of like Black every game.
That is actually but that's true literally... in the universe of Pokemon.
Especially in Black and White, where the whole thing, the villain wasn't 100% sure if they were in the right. So they set it up, they assume you're the other hero, they're right, and then they set up a fight to determine who was right. Like, they've literally done that setup.
If we applied American laws to the world of Pokemon for a moment, how many laws does Ash Ketchum's journey break?
Oh my god.
Probably trespassing. It's gonna start there.
Theft? The bicycle?
Oh, yeah. Endangering a minor.
Can you be charged with endangering a minor if you are a minor? Or do you get charged with something else?
Yeah. I think we solved this with rock, paper, scissors or something. I don't know.
We decide who's the minor with rock, paper, scissors. Only one of you can be the minor.
If a minor is still in a position of responsibility or control over another child, so, like, I would imagine, you know, you have two children and the older one babysits the young one.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to clarify. It makes sense. I just wanted the clarification of it, if that... Okay, so endangering minors...
Assault and battery re-Team Rocket.
Unlawful use of firearm.
Poor Team Rocket. What have they done to do to deserve
it? Wait, am I allowed to talk about the non-lawful use of the fire?
Only if you talk about it in Japanese.
Non-canonical
use of a firearm. That's also a crime. Only it's a different crime.
How can you be charged with something you canonically have not done? I might have robbed that bank, but it was non-canonical, Your Honor. Non-canonical.
That was simply fan fiction. Your Honor. That was not localized.
entirely in your kitchen.
Your Honor, that was not localized as me cracking up.
Any other laws that Ash and crew broke on their fantastic journey?
I mean, like, fucking with the fabric of reality probably should be.
Yeah, but
wow! If only we had some sort of registry to prevent that from
happening. Right. We can't do that. Never mind. That's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's mostly just gross misuse of a Pikachu. Oh, the Pikachu's not kept in a Pokeball. That's maybe a crime.
That's got to be breaking
that. That Pikachu's at least like if Pokemon are evolutionary tethered to humans, are they held to the same standards of nudity? And should they be?
Are monkeys held to the same standards as humans?
No, we said they're chained together. Like, they're definitely tied together, but they're not identical.
Okay, I mean, I am just trying to get Drowsy to wear pants. That is my main crew.
That's fair enough.
I'll tell you what. Why don't we work out a bipartisan solution? I'll make a law that says Drowsy has to wear pants, and then you sign on to my bill that will cut all the healthcare for Pokemon in the Pokemon world.
You know what? Maybe Drowsy can let his freak flag fly.
I'm sorry you killed my recent.
Before we get into legislation, it just seems like, just from what we know about the show, the Pokemon can be socially pressured to wear clothes.
That's true. And some of them,
there are Pokemon that wear gloves and stuff. There's Pokemon that wear hats. Like, there's Pokemon that wear stuff.
Some of the hats seem to be part of the Pokemon.
The Drowsy Pants Act.
The Drowsy Pants Act. Or, like, what about, like, Pokemon? Like, I've always kind of wondered, like, does the leak that Farfetch'd carries, like, is that?
No. I know there's some lore with the leak. I can't remember offhand. I know there is some lore.
See also Cubone Skull.
I think that's a thing where if you ask them if they're born with the leak, they get offended at you. Like, no, they
maybe
just all
she's
happen
born
to...
with it. Maybe it's
maybe it's the leak. Yeah. Are these aren't all identical leaks, are they? They all just have their own personal leak, or
yeah, they have their own personal leak. And as of Generation 8, you can evolve Farfetch'd in Britain, in a place that's basically the UK, to create Sirfetch'd, where not only does the leak turn into a sword, he also gets a leak shield. Sirfetch'd.
Okay.
Yeah,
you know,
really, that's the vibe.
We deal with hard-to-process information a lot on this show, and I didn't expect this episode to cause so much just loss of coherency,
I'm just thinking on, like, a laws of thermodynamics. Where does the matter for the leak shield come from?
Listen. Here's the law of matter in Pokemon. It doesn't matter. That's the laws of matter in Pokemon. It doesn't matter.
You know? Okay. My bean's a little freaked right now, and I'm just along for the journey. Let's go.
Sirfetch, best Gen 8 Pokemon. A mighty knight with a leak sword and a leak shield. Let's go, baby.
Wow. There's a lot to process here today. We're not done yet, though, with the hard-to-process questions. I've got a few more. How do you think underage Pokemon trainers are compensated? They take money from each other, but, like, where does the money originate in this scheme? Are they paid like gig workers or like college athletes? Like, what do you think?
I mean, like, okay, so if a lot of the money is being paid by gym leaders, are gym leaders job creators?
Yeah, I mean, if they've got people working at the gyms. In different amounts of gyms have different amounts of people.
It seems based on the intense amount of commercialization of the sport of Pokemon.
Oh God. Let's talk Gen 8. The gyms are giant stadiums with all sorts of people in the stands cheering you on. When you get to the gym leader's final Pokemon, the music even changes to one where the crowd's cheering becomes part of the music. Like, oh, Gen 8, very much commercialized.
Well, it just seems like now we'd be talking about agents as a thing that's in this universe, like really obviously. And it just seems like, well, they may not want to talk about the fact that there are agents in the world of Pokemon because of the implications.
Getting back to the general makeup of the economy, I do think that it's worth noting that a large part of at least the player character in most Pokemon games, at least like secondary source of income, seems to be selling shit you find on the ground.
I love this economy. The Trope's economy, you can only make it by finding potions on the ground that you sell.
I mean, like, you sell nuggets. You just sell cool rocks. I think that the Pokemon economy seems to be simulated by the exchange of cool rocks.
So I'm just going to say, as a kid, I learned the harsh lesson about how video games actually work. Because I remember as a kid, when I found my first Moonstone, I wanted to get rid of it, but maybe get it back later. So I sold it to a store, didn't get anything for it. I know, bad choice. And I was so disappointed that you can't buy it back. That's when I learned the harsh reality of the economy and how it works.
Yeah, no take back.
Yeah, or at best, you can buy it back and it's like three times the price now. So they're just basically, they're just gig workers doing whatever they can to make a buck.
Do like the child Pokemon trainers have to file? Is it like just 1099s?
Probably just gig workers? Probably just 1099. You have
to... Okay. Like, we're thinking 10-year-olds. 1099-year-olds. The trainers get as young as like toddlers.
Right, there are like child to you trainers, right?
Yeah. Are they filing taxes? They're not filing taxes.
Well, they should be filing if they're winning. If they're
mommy says I need to file my tax form to the Pokemon government.
Well, like if they're bringing in like a substantive income. How else are we going to pay for the Pokemon public health care?
So true. We have to exploit the toddlers for their money.
So that way Raichu can get all fixed up. Yeah.
This totally makes sense. We just got to exploit the toddlers so that Raichu can have health care.
Yeah. The toddler needs to fill out a 1099N for each battle that it participates in. And not...
Oh my god! There's all these edgy jokes about Pokemon actually being a terrible... Yeah, there's all these edgy jokes, but I think this podcast takes the case for the most dystopian view of the Pokemon world. What the fuck?
I don't even know if these things are dystopian so much as they are... realistic. I guess they assume some entropy. They are more entropy.
What if we live in a dystopia? Your
choices have been more activism centered and ours have been more entropy centered. I wouldn't say one is better or worse or more reactionary than the other.
This is great. This episode is fantastic.
That's it. I'm going to the Pokemon capital right now. I'm going to the Indigo Plateau, and I'm going to start a giant rally, a giant protest.
Hey, what happens when the Pokemon government sticks its cavalcade of Chanseys at you?
Oh, God.
I'm going to go out shouting. I'm going to get a good sound clip in, and that's going to be the last you see of me. I'll be fine. I'll be fine.
Okay, here's what I've got next. Do you think that the Pokemon trainers would be allowed to unionize?
I mean, if you have the power...
It's so funny that the Pokemon would unionize, but the trainers wouldn't be allowed to.
And yet, you have to admit, there's a chance that that could happen.
How have the efforts to unionize gig workers been working out in real life?
I feel like the trainers would have less of an immediate shared interest beyond just training Pokemon. Like, there's so many different, like, types of trainers that it might be hard to find, like, a collective, like, voice for this. On the flip side, though,
we would need a unifier that can unify the gamblers, that can unify the swimmers, that can unify the disgruntled grunts for the evil team.
So, like, okay, but if you're, let's say you're the champion, and you've captured the big face Pokemon of a given game... or region, I guess. You do technically have the power of God and anime on your side.
I mean, again, that was the antagonist's whole plan in Black and White, Fifth Generation.
Right.
He got the big Pokemon, he beat the leader, it turns out he had his castle buried underneath the Indigo Plateau, don't think about it too much, and he wanted to show the world he was better than the only person that could be seen as his competitor at that point. And he lost.
Like, tech bro. Yeah, I mean, I think that, like, theoretically, Pokemon trainers have the... There's nothing legally preventing Pokemon trainers from unionizing, but I do think that there would be too much, like, infighting to have, like, a cohesive and coherent platform versus the Chansey Union, which is very strong.
Yeah, I also think that actually the trainers are in a situation much like boxing or something, where they're going to be in relationships with the promoters. The promoters have already... This is a big monetized world, and it's clear that the people that are in charge of monetizing Pokemon have a totally different layer of knowledge of the game than the people who are playing it and going through the world and setting. So I think that the money is going to be made by the adults, but the adults are obviously going to have to cut in the Pokemon. So I think the trainers, although they are becoming famous and they are becoming the best like no one ever was, and they're getting the fame and influence or hype, they may be making the least amount of money.
There's probably like a few trainers at the top that make really good money, so that there's like a perception.
Yeah. Like, you've got to go through beating 8 gym leaders. Like, think about whether you can outlift 8 leaders of gyms in your country or state. Probably not.
Delusion of voice. As a child,
to make it even more competitive.
My next question, this might also help us to continue to clarify where we're at here. Do you think that the children that participate in Pokemon battles get academic incentives and, relaxed, rewarded for relaxed participation in academic settings compared to children that don't battle Pokemon?
It's just like the NCAA. If you've got Pokemon, you don't have to go to school. You know, they're not, you know, you can phone it in class. It's just like being a protagonist in an anime. You've got your whole story arc going, and school is like the fourth story arc.
At a certain point, you'd need to treat it similar to like child actors having like a set teacher, one would hope. So there's kind of like, can Pokemon trainers have like Zoom school?
Oh. Interesting question.
Oh, it's worth noting that Ninth Gen, Scarlet and Violet, the entire plot is you're going to this special Pokemon school, known, very well known, great at educating people to be the best trainers. Like, that is the plot. You are going to the Pokemon school.
That's kind of intriguing.
One would necessarily think there has to be, like, a strong academic structure within the world of Pokemon, just given the number of professors that are like willy-nilly running around.
There's got to be a lot of people that study Pokemon, which also makes sense, because what are you going to do if you're an ex-Pokemon trainer, right? Like, if you trained Pokemon when you were young and now you're aging out of that, what do you do now? I think the answer is you teach, right?
So you're like becoming a gym leader, or you could also form a crime syndicate. I see.
You could also form a crime syndicate. That's
fairly.
And if I recall correctly, in Gen 9, one of the teachers at the university was a former gym leader who recently retired. Okay. Yes.
There you go. You
literally see that happening.
There we go, folks. Right there in the text. I've just got a couple of questions left about youth and Pokemon. We've gotten through a lot of these already, which is great.
This has been a very excellent roll of questions. I was pleasantly... This was like a nice version of the Metal Gear Solid episode. I was surprised in a pleasant way, but not...
Kennedy, I will never forgive you for that episode.
Yeah.
I will never forgive you for that episode.
This had some pleasant existential crises.
Well, let's have a couple more. At what age should you be allowed to own and battle Pokemon? Is it acceptable? We've been talking about this, kind of dancing around this off and on. Is it acceptable that we have these toddlers battling Pokemon? Or should we be cutting this off and saying, you know, you got to be at least 10 or something You know, you can't just be a fucking 4-year-old with a Machamp.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm a Poca libertarian now, having talked through these issues. You know, if a 4-year-old is dancing through the fire like Avatar The Last Airbender, and they're just like, I'm buddies with a level 72 Charizard, and you got to deal with it, then I just think the circle of nature will balance itself out. And I hope that they find an equal and equivalent 4-year-old or 7-year-old to rival them to keep us from having our rights infringed or whatever.
Similar to where I'm coming down as well. Like, I mean, look, if a 4-year-old has a Charizard, I know for a goddamn fact that I am not going to get the Charizard away from the 4-year-old. So we're going to just let that happen, I suppose.
All right, you'll never be able to guess what my favorite Pokemon generation and games are based off of my answers. But I, as a Pokemon Black and White purist, think 14 or 16 is a more appropriate
age. Oh, no, that's probably a better age. I just don't think it's feasible to enforce that.
Oh, you got a license for this Pokemon battle.
Look, my license is I've got a fucking Charizard, man. Now give me your lunch money.
I can't believe you would say that to Officer Jenny.
Look, ACAB includes every single Officer Jenny.
God damn it, that was my next question.
Yeah. We could ask us and we could pretend it's the first time we thought of the question.
Does ACAB include... I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, the answer is yes, but also Smash.
Whoa.
Wow.
I mean, that is such a loop. Whoa.
That's a spicy take.
That's a no one is.
I have many questions.
She's dressed as a Vaporeon, yes.
No! That Vaporeon joke is so overused. I'm just asking you how many Officer Jennies there are.
Oh.
That's all. Yeah, I bet you never thought of that before. Let's move on before I regret living. Just kidding. I already do. Let's go.
Does ACAB also include Detective Pikachu?
Yes. Also. Smash.
He's a private investigator.
No.
Can we go back a second, Bugs Bunny? What'd you say after you said yes?
Smash.
Like Smash Brothers, right?
Pikachu?
He's voiced by Danny DeVito.
Oh, You know what? That wacky Bugs Bunny.
Excellent.
Yes, it includes Detective Pikachu also, not Smash.
Detective Pikachu, not a cop. A detective.
Whoa!
He's a private dick.
A private detective is not a cop.
Yeah, he's not a cop, but he's certainly adjacent enough that I look if I have the right to remain silent if Detective Pikachu's asking me certain questions. I don't know. Like if he asked if I saw something or other, no, I didn't. He's not a cop, but he's a narc.
You don't have to talk to Detective Pikachu, of course.
I could,
but it's just fine. Detective Pikachu's going to find all this stuff out himself.
Yeah, I mean, like the issue that I'm running into is I don't think I could be mean to Detective Pikachu. Like, look at his little hat, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like Puss in Boots. Aw, look at them little boots.
Just a little guy. Like,
look at that little
hat. Yeah, I think, like, yeah, okay, Can little guys be cops?
Maybe the cops should only be... Well, that goes down a whole different thing. When you have the cops only being little guys,
for
a whole different.
I don't. They have not to be only really little.
Okay.
Yeah, like.
But can they?
I
guess it depends.
Yeah, I mean, because like.
I mean, there are some. I don't know how little.
Just a little guy.
I don't know how little.
You can't do anything about
it. I don't know how little the guys can get. I guess it depends on the area. Like, you might have to be able to lift a log or something to qualify. I don't know.
How does the Squirtle Squad factor into this?
In what way? Is Squirtle Squad ACAB? Is that what we're getting at?
Yeah, Squirtle Squad's probably ACAB. They seem to be more of like a community defense force.
I just want to say that as an adult, hearing the phrase Squirtle Squad puts my mind in a completely different direction. Sounds like the name of a porno or something. Yes, the Squirtle Squad is ACAB.
Yeah. ACAB includes the Squirtle Squad, sure.
Yes, we did understand the implication of the joke.
I wish I didn't.
Oh. I didn't expect y'all to come down so hard on Squirtle Squad, but yet probably fair.
Squirtle Squad, current location with Officer Jen.
Oh. Squirtle Squad, we were all rooting for you.
Squirtle Squad,
no. No, you guys have such good sunglasses. How could you do this to me?
Squirtle. That was their response when they were asked about it. Squirtle. That translates to, we sold out because they gave us cooler sunglasses.
Oh no, they're all wearing Oakleys now.
Perfect. Here's my final question.
Thank God.
Brock would get me too'd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, that's it. Thank you everyone for voting with us today. This has been the most important election of your lives once again.
Did you vote, Brooks? Right. Did you vote for the first
time? I did just vote for the first. I feel like a different person.
Yeah, you are one.
Yes, you now have a new attack. Voting.
Oh, Pokemon.
It's a normal type attack. It has a 30% chance of voting your opponent out of existence.
I call that sheer cold.
No, with sheer cold, they just faint. With voting, they just poof, no longer exist.
By which you mean mildly inconveniencing them for a period of like 18 months. Yeah.
It doesn't involve a gun, so you can do it.
Sure. Bugs, what would you like to promote?
Democracy.
Wow. A real
look at this schmuck who wants democracy.
This is the story arc of the year. Thank you for participating. We've really gone on a life-changing journey together. It was just great.
Maybe the real voting was the friends we made along the way.
Support democracy by following me on Blue Sky, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, all at Bugs Matrix.
What Hillary Clinton really meant was Pokemon, comma, go to the polls.
I mean, like...
Whoa!
There's so many chances. Save lives. There's so many chances. They're unionized. Like,
I'm appealing to the chancy vote, so they vote me in as president 2028. The first year I'm qualified to run for president, technically.
Hell yeah.
Well, thank you so much for choosing to spend some time with us today, Bugs. Thank you, listeners, for choosing to spend some time with us and for voting as always, and we'll see you next time. Vote once again. Bye.
Vote.
Bye-bye.
Vote.
Thanks for listening.